meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday, and it really is. And Tony is on his way, as Nick just informed me.
No mask. Okay. Well, you know, it's okay now, right? You're vaccinated and all that. So this is the first time I've seen Nick without a mask since March, I think. Wow. Over a year. Anyway, welcome, everybody. It's just a beautiful day in Chicago. Absolutely beautiful. Just, I had a funeral this morning. Kobe Hubbard, great guy. Great guy. Who was a basketball coach. He served in the military. He and his wife, this goes back many, many years. Well, he was a young man, though. He was in his 40s, I believe, and born in 1972, so whatever that is. But he, I remember back in the day, because I've been here 31 years, and we had the Christmas concert every year when Sister Susan was a principal of the school, and at the concert we would always have a real Mary and Joseph, the Blessed Virgin and Joseph, to a married couple who have just had a baby, and then the baby would be the baby Jesus, and he and his wife where the where Mary and Joseph and their child was the baby Jesus. I always remember that. But just a great guy, worked with the kids, and what can I say? I just got back from there, and we had the service at the funeral home, and then later we'll have a mass, and it just really nice being with the family, and because he was such a good guy. You've heard me speak often about joy, the mystique of joy, and sometimes to have the kind of joy this man had. I mean, he was just always joyful. He even during the time that he suffered the cancer, he didn't lose that joy. And when I saw him, it wasn't too long ago, it seems to me. I lose track of time, but I saw him at the school, and he just, I hadn't seen him for a long time because they've been pretty much away from the school. All the kids are out of school, but they've got a long history with us. And he just kind of slapped me on the back and said, how you doing, big boy, and all that. I didn't know that he was going through the cancer. He certainly knew that I was going through that, and it was just a great guy. So it's always it's sad to say goodbye to anybody, right? Anybody, but at the same time, our faith is such a gift, and we have you have so much to speak about in a time like that about the fact that we're not condemned to be here forever, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him, those who live in his grace, die in his grace, and that what the world takes away, God gives back. And So there's even in the grief, there's that consolation. It's very consoling to know that, and everybody knows, you know, people, especially at a time like that, reality hits home, and it's a reminder to all of us that it is a journey, it is a pilgrimage, as we always say, we are on the way. So anyway, I've just come back from there, and Tony, you're welcome. You just
Sorry, got caught in traffic.
I thought you just decided to stay outdoors. Oh, it was so nice, so beautiful out there. This is one of my favorite this is just a picture perfect day.
Yeah.
So.
And it would make, because it's a picture perfect day, I would get caught up with people that are really just not nice.
Why?
Long story.
Today?
Yeah.
On the way?
You know, getting on the expressway, a guy cut me off and decided to stay there, so I couldn't get on the expressway.
Oh,
so,
really?
And then throw coffee at me and stuff like that. Yeah. It's,
that's not nice.
It's what people are out there. And I think about this because I heard the beginning of the show, and I'm thinking about the whole mask thing. And more questions again. So I was going to ask, does that mean now we can not have masks, or do we still have to have masks, or what's going on?
You're asking the wrong person here. I just I don't know.
Yeah, right. Then you hear about some of the things that people do.
Right.
And it's funny because I was listening to the radio and hearing some of the things that people do, stories that are going on now. I've been trying to stay away from all of this.
Yeah.
But of course, I get in the car, I put on the radio, I want to, listen in. You hear this stuff, and then you see the stuff that happens to me, and then I'm thinking, wow, these are the people. These are the people.
Were you wearing a mask?
No, I wasn't.
Was he wearing a mask?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I was in my car, so.
Yeah, sure.
You say, maybe I should have put my mask on, because I don't know.
Something I never understood. I still see people in the car driving alone wearing a mask.
But, yes.
And actually today, even as I went to the funeral home, I noticed because the CDF or CDD or CDF or whatever
CDC.
It is. CDC said that if you've got the vaccine, you no longer have to wear the mask. It even said in churches, you don't have to.
You know, here's the interesting thing, Father, and I'm glad you brought this up, and I didn't really want to talk about this, but because I am a creature of just information, and I guess maybe because
disinformation.
Disinformation. But I mean, I'm one of those persons that I like to listen to everything.
Right,
I mean, I want to be informed.
Got it.
Okay. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, which again, I've been trying to stay away from the news, but I'm looking at this oil,
ransom
for the oil, and these places don't have oil or gas.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing what's going on in Israel, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, what a perfect time to say, hey, we don't need masks anymore. Look at this shiny thing, but don't pay attention to all this other stuff. No, call this maybe, I don't know what you would call it, conspiracy for me or just something. See how these things match, and I think, okay, are we that stupid? And I think, God forgive me, I think we are that stupid to think that this is a good thing and forget about all this bad stuff. So I don't know.
I hadn't thought about that. That's really interesting.
I've heard this before and I've seen this. It's not just our president today. I mean, many presidents have done this, where it's like we look at the shiny thing in front of us. And I mean, are people that, I don't know.
Gullible?
Not thinking, gullible, exactly.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, I'm just a little charged.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, you had coffee thrown on you, so I mean, why wouldn't you be?
No, I think I will get some coffee.
And you want some coffee?
No.
But that's, I hadn't thought about that. But the thing with the mask is everything is, there's so much
I mean, you want to think, did we always know this? Is this some kind of, and again, when I say this, I know you're going to have those people that say, oh, he doesn't know. I'm not saying that it's not a serious thing. I believe this is a bad, but I just wonder. From the whole beginning.
Well, from the beginning, they said you're not supposed to wear the mask, and you were to wear the mask, and you get all this. What's interesting is I was listening to this on the radio this morning as well, that in the airlines, you still have to wear the mask.
Yeah.
And now they're going to start serving peanuts. And I remember the flight that I had from Rochester last week. They announced that on such and such date they're going to begin serving peanuts and canned water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what I heard today on the radio is that you have to eat the peanut. You have to keep your mask on, remove it, eat the peanut, put the mask back on. So, I mean, I get it. The whole thing is, I guess I've gotten to the point where if I go into a store or wherever,
right.
I just put the mask on. I'm not going to be outdoors in a mask. I'm not going to, certainly, you know, right. during Holy Communion, I'll wear the mask. I don't know what the church's regulations are going to be now, but I did hear that now they're saying that even in church you don't have to. If you've had the vaccine, but if you haven't had the vaccine,
you have to have a mask on.
But okay,
and so tell me why.
My question is why? Yeah.
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 Am I afraid of you? Because obviously, if you don't have the mask on, then you were vaccinated, so I'm not going to catch anything from you. Or. Does the vaccination really mean that you can't catch COVID? Does anybody know?
Yeah, no.
This is why I'm sorry.
But I didn't think about what you said that as these other bigger things mm-hmm. going on, it's a very perilous, very precarious mm-hmm. situation in the Middle East right now.
And mind you, because last night was the first night I couldn't sleep. I came home from work and I did what I said I wasn't going to do. I started watching the news, and I knew about what was going on in Israel, but I actually saw it, you know, the rockets and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I remember, and again, I'm sorry, I remember 4 years ago hearing how, oh, this tyrant is going to start a war. This tyrant is going to this and that, and now it's almost like, and again, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. It's still soon. It's early in the new presidency. So, okay. But I don't see, like the border, again, and I know I'm jumping around here, there's no kind of addressing this issue. It's like, uh-huh. okay, well, yeah, it's there. Look at the shiny, look at what, I'm giving you masks. Your masks are off. Don't pay attention to any of this else.
I mean, Well, so you've got that situation. Then you've got Russia on the border of Ukraine. You've got China on the border of Taiwan. It is a very, very interesting time.
And then I wonder if the reason people really voted was this man, Donald Trump, was such a bad man. This man was whatever. Add all the adjectives to it as possible. And were we really that blinded that it's more than just that? There's more. Presidents aren't supposed to be liked. It's good if they're loved. I mean, it's a good thing. But, you know, I mean, in all honesty, somebody that cares about the country, look at what's going on. I mean, can we still say to this day, and I've heard this from conversations with people, oh, that's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault. The man's out of office.
So you're kind of declaring yourself, and all I can say is, you know, the policy as opposed to the man. My mother would say, you know, everybody would say, you used to hear this, always say, never talk politics or religion
because
you're going to. But we are in.
But these are the questions, you know.
Yeah.
Aside from, I know we're here to talk about our faith, and that's a beautiful thing. But you know, it's sometimes, and I can see how people. Because I'll be honest, I really expected something different. I really did, because you know how you. And I think about it, even with my experience with the moron that cut me off and decided to throw coffee at me. What is it about, and we think about freedom and things like that, you know, you can get a group of people that want to do something incredibly bad. And if you get enough of them yelling at you every day and shouting down at you and telling you you're this or that or this, and then all of a sudden, these are the people that can change something in our world. And there are people that, I don't know, are gullible, that fall into this or decide, well, yeah, it's a good idea. Or yeah, I want this group of people. I want their money. I want their vote. I want whatever. So I'll give them everything they want.
God, Thomas, I was this. I was listening this morning as well, early, as I was listening to the radio and, you know, getting ready for the day. And or was it last night maybe? I think it was last night. I was watching a news item that I have to download because I don't have television, so mm-hmm. I download after everything is done for the day. So it's pretty late. Different commentaries or talk shows, or not talk shows, but what do you call it? Radio
shows.
Not radio. Radio, and I've got a number of different places I go to and just get the gist of what's going on. And
like cable news or something like that, or
yeah, but I don't want to stay with some cable. I stay away from.
Yeah, yeah.
People know I'm conservative, right. So which means, and I always want to define that for people when I say it means I conserve what has been handed down to us. The more and more, the more crazy the world seems to get, mm-hmm. the more conservative I become.
Right.
But the more I want to hold on to, because I see the good. Time tested and tried. Truths. Mm-hmm. Well, and I do believe, you know, we have a truth that has to be adhered to, and that truth is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to address an issue from yesterday's radio program, but the. But what's really shocking, and again, this is where people have to understand what's going on in the schools. This was really, really shocking. I kind of knew. I knew that there's this indoctrination that's going on. But, you know, they're
believe it or not, Father, I left that out. But I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
So all these books that have been banned all of a sudden, and the... And I think these were people defending the or opposed to the fact that these books are being banned, and so they exposed what's being replaced by these books, and mm-hmm. it's basically pornographic.
Yeah,
pornographic.
Now, I mean, people that don't know this are listening to this, and they're saying, like I used to say years ago, oh, no, this can't be happening. But I'm telling you, it is happening. The thing that bothered me, too, in this, looking at this, is the guy that was talking, he was in front of the school council telling them this, right. And they were basically saying, ignoring.
Right, right.
And yeah, that is scary.
You saw the same thing I saw, yeah.
That is scary.
It is scary. It is scary. It's appalling.
Yeah.
And this is where we do have to... And I think part of it is that most people are good people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if most people are people of faith, but I think people have that kernel of faith. Mm-hmm. If your faith is the size of a mustard seed.
I mean, in all honesty, what could these things, what is the purpose? If my child was in school and I had to find out about this, what is the purpose? Why would this be a good thing for my school board to say, fine? Did they not know? Or like, you know, when I think of when they pass a law, it's 1,000 pages long and nobody even reads everything, but they pass it. So I wonder if it's that same principle. Do they not know, or does somebody in the background know what this is?
But obviously the response was... a negative response to these parents that were exposing
exactly
what's going on and what they do not want for their children. So there's some force. I call it the diabolical disorientation. Yeah. You know, that how can a mind become so corrupted, in a sense? The motto for our school is faith, virtue, and valor. We need a restoration of faith in God, virtue, you know, living the commandments of God, and as Jesus would call us, even beyond the commandments, to a life of high virtue and valor, you know, the courage. What these parents were doing, the courage to stand before the powers to be and to expose the filth, the garbage, this and what is this doing to, you know, I think often about what we're doing to the psychosexual formation of our children. Because, you know, it is shocking, but the extent of what's going on, you know, that good people who, as we were taught, we were raised to respect our authorities, respect your teachers. Who are you? You know, they've got the knowledge, they've got the education. You're there to learn from them, and that's the way it was. And so I think many people were taught the same way. These are the educated. These are the professionals. These are the, you know, we're what do we know? We don't have that education. I mean, as you're growing up, you know, and you go to school and, you know, unless you, but see, we're not on the same page anymore. This is, we've lost in a rather radical way our Judeo-Christian foundation. So that we, you know, we all knew that we were to adhere to the Ten Commandments. We knew that we were to speak in a certain way, live in a way that was respectful. You didn't want to bring shame to your family. You didn't want to bring shame to yourself. You didn't want to bring shame to your community, for the most part, right? People tried to live a moral life. And all that has gone out the window. Now, I think there are many people who still adhere to that. But like you said, it doesn't take the masses. It takes a small group that gain control over the masses in order to perpetuate their agenda, which is radically contrary to the Judeo-Christian principles of life, faith, virtue, and valor.
See, we always hear this. We always hear it, whether it's polls or now I know more than ever the media is pure garbage. I mean, you can't believe a thing that they say. But there's always, okay, you can almost look and think there's a bunch of people, and I mean a lot of people that actually think this way. And in reality, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're too busy in life. And I can understand that, having kids. I don't have kids, but I could see. I know how people, you know, you take them to the games, you take them to their whatever is going on, and people go through life. You don't pay attention to this because you never would have thought in a million years that this is the way life is. But to have to look and to see what your kids are being taught, and we know that they're being taught some horrendous ideas and things. And again, what do we do?
Well, the whole, you know, this attempt to deconstruct and revise history, whether it be the history of our nation or the history of the church, as I say so often, you know, yes, of course, in our history, let's just say in church history, there has been bad actors. There's been those who have used the religion for their own gain, those who have betrayed a Christ. I say it so often, you know, our focus, the point of focus is not Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord, sold him out, but it's Jesus Christ and the saints. That's why in the beauty of the church, in fact, I began the service this morning with the litany of the saints, because it's very beautiful, you know, and asking the saints to pray for him, you know, it's very beautiful, and it puts things in a broader perspective, you know, that We're here for a little bit of time, but we're part of this beautiful history, this beautiful sacred tradition. We're part of the sacred drama, and yes, it's lived in conflict, in battle. But our focus is not on the bad, and these people who have this ulterior agenda to remake the face of the church or the face of the nation, and quite honestly, and it's very, very obvious, the diminishing the necessity of marriage and family, creating distortion and perversion in with regards to this very sacred institution, which is the bedrock of society. There's no doubt about it that that's and really the whole area around sexuality. I mean, you know, in many ways, when you think about what's going on in this nation and these other bigger problems in other parts of the world, or even bigger problems in our nation and people's lives, and we seem to be fixated on all things pertaining to sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, now when people say, well, and I've always heard this say, well, the church is fixated on sexuality. I said, no, it's not the church. The church is not. It's the society. Society is fixated on sexuality. And that tells you something about the when people are suffering all over the world or on the verge of war or suffering poverty or and then they look at the United States and they see and much of the West, unfortunately, and they see where we're fixated, where we're, you know, what we're doing. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. So anyway, we got to take a break and then we're going to pray. But so sorry about the coffee you had thrown on you. It's, did it actually go through the
No, the guy thought he was going to be smart and just throw it at me. I was in back of him, so yeah. Just, you know, it never hit me.
Well, it really brought you in here in a... Really,
but yeah,
bad
I'm
mood,
fired up.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, but it is.
I need prayer. I need to calm.
So I was just thinking today, you know, how good people are because, and people are good, mm-hmm. but there are people that are good, but also really terribly confused.
Right.
And as long as it's not hurting me, you know, that's give me what I want, and. You know, people who don't think of what are the ramifications or the consequences of my behavior.
Yeah. And on a side note, I was just thinking, even as this happened, the old Tony would have gotten a string of responses to what happened and maybe even would have stopped, maybe would have even hit the car. But I was really taken aback to how... Just like you said that, I've learned to say, although you are this bad, whatever is going on in this person's life, don't let it affect me.
Yeah.
It's funny, I got on the expressway. It's almost as if God said, I know, Tony, and he gave me a straightaway and I rushed to get here.
Well, obviously it affected you because you brought it into the radio.
Yes.
You know, so.
As it does.
Anyway, you didn't come away from that unscathed,
right?
But it could have been worse.
Yes.
Right? Could have
yes.
been worse.
Yes.
All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. We're going to pray. We need to pray. We pray for Tony.
Yes.
Pray for the world. Pray for our nation. Pray for our church. Pray for everybody. Jeez, we pray, Jesus, my dear Lord.
It's another
pray
thing.
For everybody.
Just how much this is important and how much it's an exercise that we should always learn how to,
right.
You know.
Absolutely. And then I do want to address an issue that was raised yesterday. It was a good issue, good question, and I want to address it. And that is what I mentioned with regards to regarding the a good this conversation I have with a Muslim mm-hmm. who is a man of a very deep faith. And I just want to address that again because I think I left. People, there needs to be some clarification right. there, so we'll do that. All right, so don't go away. We will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto, where that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website, at ststandschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanchicago.org and learn all about it.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we will pray. We will pray because prayer is... You can't let a day go by when you don't pray, and pray constantly, pray unceasingly. Keep God always before you so that we don't lose our sanity and so that we don't lose our lack of civility and that we are disposed for the purgative, the transformative, and the sanctifying grace of Almighty God so that we become the kind of people that can counter this or reorient what's become a diabolical disorientation that has taken the grip of much of society. And again, you know, the mercy of God, I think I've said this, is it doesn't surprise me that we're in this period. The whole of history is grace time, a time of grace, a time of mercy, because there will come the day of judgment. That's absolutely clear. It runs through the whole of Scripture. We will be judged for what we did or did not do with the time that was given to us in this life. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of the resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the most holy rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to go back to yesterday's conversation. It was the Feast of the Ascension, and I was speaking about a number of things, but I brought up, because Jesus said in the Gospel, this is the Gospel for the Ascension, this year, and this is year B, we have a 3-year cycle. And in the he says, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. This is right before he ascends into heaven. So he's got the apostles there. And he says, go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In my name you will drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents, deadly things, and drink deadly things, and you will not be harmful. And in Luke's gospel, he says, behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. And twice he said, nothing will harm you. Yet we know if we pick up a serpent, we'll get bit, and if we step on a scorpion, we'll get stung. We're not spared things in this world, and Jesus didn't deceive us in that regard, because he said, pick up your cross and follow me. You will be hated on my account. You will have trouble in this world. Fear not those who can kill the body, but fear rather those who can kill the soul. He said, if you, well, I'll get into that in a moment, but St. John, is, did I open the radio today with this? I don't know. I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, of the saints in heaven from every language, tribe, nation, a people, these countless people all around the throne of the Lamb. The elder sister John, where have they come from? Who are these people? And he says, sir, you know better than I. And he says, yes, these are those who have survived the time of trial and tribulation, persecution, distress. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. As in other words, they were participated in the Holy Eucharist. They partook of the mysterious bread made known to them but unknown to others, the hidden bread, the Eucharistic gift, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Many of them died a martyr's death rather than they shed blood rather than deny Jesus. I mentioned, you know, that these the riddle, I use the word riddle, or the contradictions perhaps are revealed in the declaration of Jesus. It says, do not rejoice because you have power over evil spirits and deadly things, but that your names are written in heaven. Again, he said, fear not those who can kill the body, but fear rather those who can kill the soul. The toxicity of, you know, how many you hear people say often about the toxicity of life, the poison of life. Certainly a scorpion is poisonous, a serpent is poisonous, but there's a toxicity. People know when they're in a place where there's toxicity, where there's poison, and, you know, we can rise above that if we have the Lord in us, that we allow Jesus to abide within us, we partake in the sacramental life of the church, we are fed with the Word of God, we pray, we have to pray unceasingly. But I made mention yesterday of a Muslim who I had spoken to, really great guy, good guy, and I admired deeply, I have to say quite deeply, how he spoke of God and virtue and just his demeanor. He had just completed Ramadan. He took the fast very serious. He prays 5 times a day. But we, you know, and the beautiful thing is that we connected. I've known him for some time, but there was a common bond. And what is that common bond is that we both have a deep love for God. And now, through no fault of his own, he doesn't know Jesus, or he was taught, inculcated in the Quran. Jesus is certainly considered one of the greatest prophets, but they don't recognize him as the Messiah. So he was raised in that. That's the whole religious culture and political culture that he was raised in. Now, there's different. What would you call it? Like we have within Christianity, very different denominations, and there's different sects or groups within Islam as well. Islam's as large as Catholicism, maybe even probably actually growing faster than the church these days. But I said something that created some confusion. I said that when someone is through no fault of their own, they do not know Jesus to be the Christ, nor do they know the church. Through and you got to keep this in your head, through no fault of their own. But you see, the laws of God are written into our hearts. God is the creator of all humanity, of all people. Jesus came to redeem the world, to redeem, to save all of humanity. We've been chosen from among the people to give witness to Christ. We're supposed to give witness, authentic witness. Now that's, and I say we've done a very poor job, more so now perhaps than before. But a Christian, a Catholic who truly lives the faith deeply and sincerely, it can speak of God in such a way that it does, you know, that people are able to identify God and Christ Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, and is witnessing the life of a Christian, again, living faith, virtue, valor, praying, nurturing that intimacy with God. We should all become instruments in the life of Christ, because Jesus, the will of God is to reproduce his life in us. The will of God is that we be saved and that he reproduces life in us so that we go out, as Jesus says, go out to all the nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, preach repentance of sin, and make disciples of all nations. What I said yesterday was that this man, or anybody who lives according to the law that God has written into their hearts and has truly, sincerely, deeply nurtured relationship with God, but through no fault of their own, they do not know Jesus, that are they condemned for not knowing Jesus through no fault of their own? I don't want to imply in any way whatsoever what was said by a bishop, and that is that, well, Jesus is the privileged way. Jesus is not the privileged way to salvation. Jesus is the way to salvation. There is no other. There's no other door into the kingdom but through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Messiah, the only Messiah. He is the Christ, the only Christ. Christ means Messiah. He is the Savior and the Redeemer. There is no other. There is no other means by which we go to the Father, by which we enter into the kingdom, but through Jesus Christ. And so it's not that he's the privileged way. He's the only way. And he's not a God among other gods. But all people were created by God for God. And let me just finally say this, and we'll take a break, a final break. The point is, what I was suggesting is that somebody who lives deeply life in God, obedient to the law written into their heart, prays to God as they understand God, and if they're obedient and submissive to the law written into our hearts, and they would be living in a manner much like we would live, but they do not know Christ. when they die, they will come to know that the only way into the kingdom, the only way to the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
It's something I want to believe.
Yeah, Jesus is not the privileged way. He is the only way. And so nobody has access to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Even when we speak of the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's through her heart into the heart of Jesus. But that's like, you know, Mary is the perfect model of the church, the perfect model of the church. We need each other. We're supposed to help each other come to know God, to love God, and to serve God, and to give witness to Jesus Christ. And because we are sinners, and because we are conflicted, and because we are confused, and because we are distracted in this world, and God knows, God knows well the nature of this world, and He knows the nature of the human person. And He did say, Jesus said, the way to eternal life, the road, is a very narrow path, a very difficult path. Few can stay on this path. And Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And Jesus says, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But again, for those who do not know, but live a manner of life that is God-centered, centered in the law, living high virtue, caring for others, but don't know Jesus, again, through no fault of their own, they will come to know that He is the only way, and they will pass through His life into the kingdom. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, maybe somebody would say that that's a heretical teaching, but it's not heretical teaching because Jesus even speaks in the gospel, even as He speaks to His own Jewish people, that, they're going to be surprised when to people in general, you know, they'll be surprised when others come from from the south or the what, and are first into the kingdom of heaven before Jesus even said, prostitutes and tax collectors. Mm-hmm. There's that beautiful parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee is saying, thank you, God, that I'm not like the tax collector. I pay the tithe. I obey the commandments. He gives a whole litany of all the good things that he's doing, and that poor tax collector is he's prostrate and he's beating his chest, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a poor sinner. And Jesus said, that tax collector will be in heaven long before the Pharisee, mm-hmm. So I think it's we have an obligation. If anything, we have an obligation to, I was inspired by this man. He challenged my faith. He made me think about, how do I speak of God? How do I live my faith in God? How do I love God? And do I witness to Jesus Christ? Thank God, the greatest attribute of God is His mercy, because otherwise we wouldn't have a chance, would mm-hmm. we?
Nope.
Those who are, really living a very saintly life, and it's got to be our desire to be saints. We got to enter into the purgative, the transformative, and the sanctifying grace of God to let the potter mold the clay of our lives. But how many of us really do? We've gotten very, very lazy. Even as this man spoke to me about observing Ramadan, he fasted through the whole of Ramadan.
Well,
you know, so you eat before the sun rises, and you don't eat again until after sunset. That's the fast. And then I'm not sure exactly what it is you eat, but there's and not even, I thought he said you don't even drink water.
Wow.
But he faithfully observed that for love of God. So anyway, let's Frank, what's your name over
Nick.
There? Nick, back in the mask. We'll take a break, a final break, and then wrap up. Okay. So don't go. I hope I explained that. But
yeah, I think it.
Take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyal.
Because I am a priest, people will sometimes rather glibly say to me, I don't go to church anymore. I don't agree with the teachings of the church. Or they say, there's too many rules. I look at them puzzled and say, gee, I must have slept through that class in the seminary because I do not know of any teachings or rules in the church. I do know, however, of a way of seeing the invisible, incomprehensible, ineffable, immeasurable God become visible, real, tangible, through the physical order of creation that God Himself set in place. Our faith is not about teachings or rules. It is about seeing correctly and living honestly according to that vision. This is an incarnational, eucharistic, mystical view of life that sees how every created thing, whether by man or by God, speaks a language that tells us about that particular thing. This comes to its highest point in the human person. Our very bodies, precise in their male and female forms, reveal God, and they reveal the person. Learning to decode the language and theology of our bodies clues us into the why behind our being man and woman, and how to honestly and lovingly be man and woman to each other.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope that clarifies. But again, I just want to reiterate that Jesus is he's not the privileged way. As a very famous bishop in a discussion with a Jewish man, I said that, that Jesus is the privileged way, but there are many ways. No, Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. There is no other means to the kingdom, no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He's very clear about that. He's not a God among gods. He's the only Messiah, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. But again, I reiterate, those who through no fault of their own, and that's why we as Catholics, as Christians, we've been chosen from among the people to give witness, to go out and bring people to knowledge of Christ, to love of Christ, to service rendered to Christ and the church. And we do a rather poor job, and that's why we humbly say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Say but only the word, and my soul will be healed before we receive Holy Communion. As we enter into the sacred mysteries of the Mass, we acknowledge we are sinners. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Again, Jesus said the road to heaven is very narrow, very, very difficult. Few can stay on this. Peter said, Lord, how can man be saved? He says, for man it's impossible. But for God all things are possible. So I hope that clears that up a bit, at least something to think about. You know, if anything, it should challenge us to authenticity with regards to the lived experience of our Christianity, our Catholicism. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.